The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the Raleigh News and Observer, the National Gardening Association e-newsletter, Dave's Garden e-newsletter, the Triangle Gardener magazine, and 1001 Hints and Tips for Your Garden by Reader's Digest. And we'll start with the 1001 Hints and Tips for Your Garden. This, we will check and see what you can do in your garden for September. If you're growing trees and shrubs, check fruit trees for fire blight and cut off any infected branches. Collect a soil sample and have it tested for nutrient content. Watch for caterpillar infestations on deciduous trees. And if you grow annuals, sow the seeds of annuals for winter display. Water and weed as needed. Select the best flowers for drying. And watch for signs of pests and diseases. Cut back tired annuals and apply a water-soluble fertilizer to prolong blooming. For perennials and bulbs, plant paperwhite narcissuses, bulbous iris, surprise or spider lilies, ranunculus, colchicums, and autumn flowering crocuses. Cut back to promote plant vigor, weed, water, fertilize, and deadhead as needed. Watch for signs of pests and diseases. And if you grow roses, apply the last feeding of complete fertilizer at mid-month. Order bare root roses from mail order nurseries for late fall or winter planting. And cultivate the soil in beds and sow the seeds of sweet alyssum as a living mulch. For vegetables and herbs, set out transplants of cool weather vegetables like lettuce, mustard, kale, turnips, cabbage, Swiss chard, and broccoli. Plant potatoes for fall production and check early plantings of sweet potatoes for mature tubers. Add new mulch and water thoroughly to soak the soil 8 to 12 inches deep. And watch for spider mite and stink bug infestations. For your tomatoes, use a complete foliar fertilizer to encourage vigorous growth and early production. Check plants daily for spider mites and leaf miners. Mulch plants with alfalfa hay, dried grass clippings, or other herbicide-free organic material. And remove the lower leaves on the fall plants to improve air circulation. For your lawns, keep mowing and watering, dethatch Bermuda grass, apply 3-1-2 fertilizer or recommended rates on Bermuda and Zoysia grasses. Apply pre-emergent herbicides on Bermuda grass as needed. Overseed Bermuda grass with perennial rye grass to keep the lawn green through the winter. Seed 6 to 8 weeks before frost and before Bermuda grass goes dormant. For patio and container plants, monitor the plants daily for water and fertilizer needs and pest control. Replace the summer plants with fall and winter annuals as soon as cooler weather arrives. And continue pinching back and deadheading as needed. Prepare the soil in containers for new plantings by adding organic matter for better water retention and sand or perlite for good drainage. And now from Dave's Garden. Most people in the city rush around so they have no time to look at a flower. I want to see it whether they want to or not. And that was said by Georgia O'Keeffe. On the Fringe with Lace Flower by Audrey Dahl-Smith. Are you a gardener that loves a little fringe? You're in luck. They also give the lace flower its frilly flair, otherwise known as alsobia. That just Nereid's white, funnel-shaped blooms look as if they were fluttering long eyelashes at you. Although some types can flower at any time of the year, mine must be one of the fall bloomers, as it generally performs only in late autumn, after it has been brought indoors for the winter. That plant may be Alsobia punctata, since its blooms have purple speckles at their center, which generally are missing in the other major species, Dianthoflora. However, there are several hybrids and cultivars floating around as well. They might be considered a more tastefully subdued version of the closely related Episcia, since they lack the gaudy leaf and flower hues boasted by that cousin. As with most other gesneriads, Alsobia likes African violet potting soil and the same conditions favored by that plant, namely average household temperatures and bright indirect light. Alsobia actually is easier to propagate, however, as it makes little plantlets all the way down its cascading stems, somewhat similar to the runners sent out by strawberries. Alsobia San Miguel. It is an epiphyte native to Mexico and Central America. The Greek Alsos forest in its name, indicating that it grows on trees beneath the canopy of the rainforest. Although I've seen Dianthoflora listed as hardy to USDA Zone 9 and punctata to Zone 10, I'm guessing the plants might rot outdoors if set in the ground. If you want to try them outside where they are hardy, I would plant them in the shallow pockets of debris which naturally accumulate in the crotches of a tree. Choose an evergreen tree so that the alsobias will remain at least partially shaded all year. They reportedly will bloom better if their runners are pinched back. That also will allow you to share all those extra plantlets with your friends. You generally can find little bumps, which are the beginnings of roots on the runner under each plantlet. To start a new plant, place a pot of damp and fluffy potting soil beside the original alsobia and pin one or more of the plantlets down to the surface of that soil with hairpins. You can cut them free of the mother plant after they have rooted. Alsobia. Alternatively, you can snip a plantlet tree free with a bit of the runner still attached to it before pinning it down in a pot of soil with the root bumps beneath the surface. In that case, place an inverted plastic bag loosely over the pot until the plant has rooted. And from the Raleigh News and Observer, this by Norman Winter. Bee Colorful Flower Mix reminds us why triadic harmony is so stunning. Bee Colorful Flower Mix is so vibrant in color, it's as if a color artist was involved in its design, which always seems to be the case when gardeners use triadic harmony. It simply looks harmonious. Bee Colorful is a new mix from Suntory of Japan. This mix, no doubt, will attract those pollinating visitors, but also will garner wows from your friends and neighbors who will want to visit more often. Before we talk triadic harmony or why Bee Colorful is so beautiful, let's have a quick lesson in color. A monochromatic color scheme uses blends of the same color and creates spaciousness as it is not broken or interrupted by another color. The analogous color scheme is similar to monochromatic in that it's pleasing and soothing because the colors selected are next to each other. There is an inherent strong relationship. Gardeners who want to maximize interest or attention in the flower border, however, most often consider using the complementary color scheme. This is the one based on the premise that opposites attract. Their differences or contrasts are considered the key to the relationship. Gardeners choose one color from the hot side of the color wheel, and the other is the direct opposite on the cool side. Adding a third or fourth color sometimes makes us scratch our head with a little trepidation, but it's really simple. The final scheme is a little like singing in harmony. Most have had the opportunity to hear music where soprano, alto, tenor, and bass are being sung to make a musical performance. By selecting our colors equal distance apart on the color wheel, we will have a very vibrant garden with some contrast, yet tied together in harmony through careful balance. Three colors are used for triadic harmony and four for quadratic harmony. Suntory has done this in its Be Colorful Mix. First, the yellow Bee Dance Painted Red Bidens is the main pollinator grabber. This species of bidens is native to Arizona and has the horrible common name of tick grabber. Trust me, you won't have any more ticks than usual. The harmony, however, comes with a stunning blue from Sky Blue Trailing Lobelia and a rousing red from Serafina Deep Red Petunia. And even if you do not find this irresistible mix, you can create your own beds, borders, or baskets of triadic harmony, whether planting a butterfly garden, perennial garden, or grandma's cottage garden. It can even be created with cool season pansies. If your favorite garden book does not have a color wheel, try searching the internet. A great place to begin is with your favorite flower and color. Then, simply pick out your next two or three colors that are equal distance apart on the wheel. Don't worry about exact matches, just get close. Pollinators and friends alike will start to take notice. Friends might even suspect you hired a professional or took an extended learning class at the community college. Gardening in harmony is a lot of fun. And now, from the National Gardening Association e-newsletter, Plants to Extend Your Blooming Garden into Fall by Steve Trusty. As the heat of summer starts to give way to cooler days and nights, it's time to think about getting the most out of the fall season that lies ahead. There are a number of plants that thrive in the fall, depending on where you live, and the time is here or fast approaching when you should start planning for extending the growing season. There are plants for show, edible plants, and some that do double duty that just might fit your design and taste. Here are a few that I like. Pansies are one of the most popular cool season flowering plants, available in many different colors and ranging in height from 4 to 8 inches. These tender perennials are usually grown as annuals in zones seven and warmer, they often bloom well into winter. In colder zones, they'll last until a hard freeze. And here's a bonus. The flowers are edible and add a little color to food presentation and spice to the palate. Look for started plants at your favorite garden center. Ornamental kale and cabbage. There's a wide variety of selections in this group of cool weather-loving plants. Their usual height and spread is about 12 to 18 inches. Besides being colorful, they display different leaf shapes and forms. They are also edible if you like their cabbage flavor. Some varieties are bred primarily for color without regard to taste. So I recommend trying a small amount to make sure you have a tasty one. In the Midwest, seeds can be sown in August, and plants can be set outdoors from mid-August into September. Further north, you can start earlier. South gardeners should wait a little longer until the weather begins to moderate. Started plants are also widely available at garden centers in late summer and fall. Cool weather brings out the colors in ornamental kales and cabbages, and these hardy plants often survive temperatures down into the single digits. In the South, they often overwinter and retain their color and charm until spring. Asters. Asters can be planted in spring or fall. Prime blooming season is late summer until frost in north, winter in south. They are very colorful and range in color from yellows to blue, purple, pink, and red. New England asters grow 3 to 4 foot tall. New York asters are smaller plants, generally, but some can reach 3 or more feet tall. Most prefer full sun. Some will tolerate partial shade. Chrysanthemum. Mums are probably the most recognized of fall flowers. They are hardy varieties and greenhouse varieties grown indoors for cut flowers. You'll want to make sure you plant the hardy varieties. They are available in just about any color and usually grow 2 to 3 feet tall. There are many different flower shapes. They include single, double, spoon, spider, button, cactus, and others. Since they depend on shorter days and longer nights for blooming, do not plant near street lights, yard lights, or other light sources. Spinach. Spinach is an excellent early spring and or late summer fall crop. Spinach likes cool weather and does not usually do well in summer heat. There are many different varieties with various sheep leaf shapes. It's mostly grown for eating in diverse ways, but some varieties could be considered ornamental. Late season spinach needs a little more time to reach maturity than a spring crop due to the cooling, shortening days of fall. So start your seeds about 8 weeks before fall frost date in your area. Swiss chard. We used to think of Swiss chard as a food crop for early spring planting, but with new varieties and more interest in extending the season, Swiss chard also makes an excellent fall crop. While all varieties are edible, some are also very showy, with red, yellow, orange, or white stalks that can provide contrast in any planting bed. Start seeds 8 to 10 weeks before your first fall frost date. Other vegetables in the cabbage family, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, and kohlrabi, are crops that love the cooler fall weather. They can be harvested well into the fall or even the winter in milder areas. Super hardy kale can even be harvested after snow has fallen. In northern parts of the country, you'll need to start with transplants at this point to grow these crops to maturity before the weather gets too cold. But gardeners in southern or longer season areas still have time to start plants from seed. And if you plan to protect plants with cold frames or low tunnels, you can push your planting dates forward by a month or so. With any of these favorites, talk to your garden center professionals to determine the best varieties and planting times for your area. Enjoy the display and some good eating well into the fall season. And from the Triangle Gardener, Here's 7 tips for preventing garden diseases. 1. Plant newer varieties that have been bred for disease resistance. 2. Use good, healthy soil to put less stress on the plants and use a smart crop rotation plan for edibles. 3. If you do spot disease on a plant, cut off the affected leaf or limb. 4. Properly dispose of diseased plants in the trash, not the compost. 5. Cleanliness counts. Wash your hands and clean your tools after working in one garden area, so no diseases are transferred. 6. Spread plants out so they have room for circulation, which helps prevent disease. This includes staking plants instead of letting them lie on the ground. And 7. Water early in the day so the plants' leaves have time to dry before nighttime, when diseases are more prone to spread. And as far as events, through October the 27th in Wilmington, North Carolina, Airlie Gardens gnome invasion is going on at Airlie Gardens. In this 6th annual summer art event, individual artists or teams decorated the garden's 15 person-sized garden gnomes. For more information, call 910-798-7700. 910-798-7700. And Intro to Tea, September the 1st, from 2 to 4 p.m. A 2-hour workshop that provides a general introduction to tea, the plant, and the drink. There is a fee. This will happen at the Camellia Forest Nursery in Chapel Hill. And Grow Your Own Tea, September the 2nd. From 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. And this is a 4-hour workshop that includes learning how to plant and grow tea from seeds and plants. Plus, you will take home your own potted seeds to grow at home. There is a fee for this, and this will also happen at the Camellia Forest Nursery located in Chapel Hill. And now from Jerry Baker's terrific garden tonics. Here are some things to do in the fall. Early fall is prime time for dividing crowded perennial clumps. My perennial transplant tonic will get your new divisions back on their feet without missing a beat. It consists of 1 can of beer, 4 teaspoons of instant tea granules, 2 tablespoons of dishwashing liquid, and 2 gallons of warm water. Mix these ingredients in a bucket and soak newly divided perennials in this tonic for about 10 minutes before replanting them. When you're finished, dribble any leftover tonic around your newly settled divisions to get them off to a supercharged start. And in most areas, fall is the ideal time to get started on a new flower garden. To get the area in prime shape for spring planting, treat it to my fall bedtime snack as soon as you are done digging. This consists of 25 pounds of gypsum, 10 pounds of organic plant food, either 4-12-4 or 5-10-5, and 5 pounds of bone meal. Mix these ingredients in a wheelbarrow. Then apply the mix to every 100 square feet of soil. Work it into the soil and cover with a thick blanket of leaves, straw, or other organic mulch. And once the ground freezes, put established flower gardens to bed by covering them with finely mowed grass clippings or chopped leaves, then overspraying with my flower garden nightcap, one can of regular cola, not diet, one cup of baby shampoo, a half cup of ammonia, and 2 tablespoons of instant tea granules. Mix these ingredients in a 20-gallon hose-end sprayer and saturate the mulch blanket. This tonic feeds your mulch, which in turn will feed your garden, while it protects your perennials all through the winter. And the net result: to keep cabbage butterflies off of your veggies, use bird netting. Make a frame out of wood or PVC that stands several inches above the plants, and double up the netting for safety's sake. Tack it to the ground with rocks, sticks, or earth staples. It's easy to lift up to get your veggies and won't take up much space when stored. And it sure beats picking the pesky larva off your plants by hand. And making sense, want to get twice the return from a single planting of cabbage? At harvest time, instead of pulling cabbages up by their roots, just cut the heads off, leaving as much stalk behind as possible. Usually, a cluster of small heads will grow out of the stalk that's left behind. Clip these off when they're small and enjoy their mild, tender leaves in a tossed salad. And bring on the boron. Like its brother, the beet, Swiss chard needs boron in its soil to grow well. If it does not get enough, its stems will crack. To make sure your crops have all the boron they need, sprinkle a little borax in and among the rows at planting time to keep them growing strong. And are root maggots polishing off your carrot crop faster than you can say Bugs Bunny? To keep the vile villains where they belong, far, far away, sprinkle coffee grounds or wood ashes over your whole carrot patch. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Cindy Fowler, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.